I'm sure we've all been let down by someone who didn't deliver what they promised. All mouth and no trousers. Now that's the phrase that's sometimes said. News reports in July, Boris can make us normal by Christmas. The words are there. He may really have the desire, but does he have the power and authority to deliver? I would love it if he can, but I'm just not sure. This morning, we land in Luke's Gospel. I looked at these verses at All Saints a couple of years ago, so I make no apologies that much of this morning is based on that. But we are a different church in different times, and this is our first time back together for nearly 5 months. Luke's Gospel is Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life and ministry on earth. It's written around 65 AD with Gentile Christians in mind, Christians who hadn't previously been Jews. Eventually, even Christians from Crowborough, written with people like us in mind. And we're in chapter 4, at the end of a small section from verses 14 to 44 about the power of Jesus' word to release captives. In verses 18 and 19, proclaim is repeated three times. In 31 and 32, Jesus' teaching with authority amazes people. In verse 35, Jesus' word drives out the demon. And verse 39, Jesus' word rebukes the fever. Jesus' word has authority and power to release people from captivity, from demons, illness, and ultimately sin. Jesus' word has authority and power. Respond to Jesus' word, not his miracles. That's what Luke's saying to us in this section. Jesus claims to be God's promised king, verse 21. That's a big claim. Big words from the teacher from Galilee, but words with power. Verses 31 to 37, Jesus' word has power and authority to drive out the demons. And as we come to our verses this morning, 38 to 44, not just demons, but now over sickness. Perhaps there's something in Jesus' claim of verse 21 after all. Perhaps we should all listen to Jesus, what Jesus teaches us after all. We've prayed. Let's keep going. We've got another slide. There's two things for us to look at this morning. First, Jesus delivers what he offers. Verses 38 to 41. Jesus delivers what he offers. Verse 38. Jesus finishes teaching in the synagogue and he goes to the home of Simon. Now he's better known as the disciple Peter, whose mother-in-law is ill, suffering from a high fever. Jesus arrives and seeing the ill woman, verse 39, bends over her and rebukes the fever, which leaves her. She gets up at once and begins to wait on them. That's a miracle. It's instant. It's a complete recovery. Jesus has made a big claim in chapter 4, verse 21. All mouth and no trousers? Well, it doesn't look like it. Jesus' word of rebuke shows his power and authority over sickness. Instantly and completely. Jesus delivers what he offers. In another 20 chapters, we're going to see Jesus' power and authority over even death itself. God's promised king has come, and it will change everything. Because Jesus is the healer of demons and of sickness and death, of all evil and sin. Jesus brings life and health, spiritual and physical, now and fully in eternity. There is nothing Jesus cannot do. There is no pain or sickness or virus that Jesus cannot overcome. There is no trial or hardship too great for Jesus. And there is no person outside the scope of Jesus' love if we will turn to him in repentance and faith. Jesus is both willing and able to be our all in all if we will let him. If we will give up being kings of our lives instead of him in every part of our lives, listen to his word and follow him. Jesus can meet our every need. Jesus delivers what he offers. But by the end of the day, verse 40, words clearly got round. Everyone wants to go with Jesus. Well, why not? There's the chance to be healed. And Jesus doesn't disappoint. Jesus delivers what he offers time and time again. Verse 40, Jesus receives people and heals them. Sin and evil and brokenness, they're having a field day. But Jesus comes and reverses all that's happening. Verse 40, curing sickness. Verse 41, driving out demons. God's promised king has come. And verse 41 highlights the issue of Jesus' identity, that Jesus is promised king with power and authority. As Jesus heals those who are sick, verse 41, demons come out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but Jesus rebukes them and will not allow them to speak because they know he is the Messiah, God's promised king. The demons declare Jesus is God's promised king. And we'd expect Jesus to want everyone to know because it's true. But oddly, Jesus doesn't at this point. It's most likely the demons are a bad endorsement for Jesus. Like the bald man giving the endorsement for hair replenishing shampoo. I am not the best advert for that. Jesus also runs the risk of mistaken identity at this point. That word Messiah is loaded. It's a political word, and politics isn't the reason Jesus has come. So Jesus' time has not yet come. Whatever the case, the demons do know the truth. They know who Jesus really is, yet they still stand against him, so are driven out by him. God's king will banish them from his kingdom. And that's sort of scary. Knowing the truth, but not by faith. The demons truly know who Jesus is, yet they have no faith, no hope, no charity, as one writer puts it. Please may we not be like that. Those who know our way around the Bible, the first to be back at church today, those who affirm Christian doctrine with our lips, yet whose hearts are far from God, empty vessels. True knowledge of Jesus should transform our hearts and our lives. It is a warning to us. It's a wake-up to respond rightly to Jesus, which is what the final three verses call us to do. The second point, the final slide, verses 42 to 44, respond to and be reassured of Jesus' call. Respond to and be reassured of Jesus' call. Let me ask, what keeps you fresh? What keeps you fresh, especially in lockdown? Is it back to work? Is it running? Is it relaxing? Is it TV, reading? Is it time with the family? I've just become a member of an open water swimming club. The wetsuit was a squeeze, but I'm hoping that's going to keep me fresh. It's been a long day for Jesus. So verse 42, the next day, Jesus goes out to a solitary place. A chance to refresh. Or often Jesus goes to pray. But the people are looking for Jesus and they find him. Jesus clearly intends to leave, but the crowd want him to stay. And we read Jesus' reason for wanting to leave. Verse 43, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also. That is why I was sent." This is Jesus' mission. His commission from the Father to proclaim. To tell, this is a word ministry, to proclaim to people the good news of the kingdom of God. The king has come, so come and be part of it. Jesus has come to release people from captivity. Ultimately from captivity to sin, all the fallenness and brokenness of our lives and the world. Jesus has proven through the miracles he can do that. Jesus delivers what he offers. But the message is the powerful way Jesus wants to announce that. To proclaim the message is why he was sent. Jesus' word has power as people listen and respond. So when Jesus calls, as the good news of the kingdom of God goes out and comes to us, as we hear the gospel proclaimed, respond. Respond to Jesus' call. Jesus offers release from captivity, from our slavery to sin. He is the Son of God, the Messiah, God's promised King. The good news of God's kingdom is that Jesus the King has come. He lived and died. And in his death, he brought us life, forgiveness for sin, release from captivity, from slavery to sin, from the consequences of wanting to live as kings of our lives instead of King Jesus, of God's right anger on us. In Jesus' death, we can have life if we will trust in him with our lives. Listen to Jesus' word. Turn from our sin to him. Jesus delivers what he offers. Respond to Jesus' call. And be reassured of Jesus' call. If you are trusting in God's King Jesus, be reassured of Jesus' call. Your trust is well placed. Jesus delivers what he offers. Jesus claims to have broken the chains of sin and death. His resurrection from the dead is evidence of that, which means new life for us now and sure and certain hope for eternity on his return. One of the hymns I'd like at my funeral, and I often quote as a wonderful summary of the Christian life, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, a sure and certain hope. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Verse 43, that's the good news of the kingdom of God Jesus came to proclaim. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, ours in the Lord Jesus. There is a complexity to the kingdom of God in Luke's gospel. It's got both a present and a future sense about it, a now but not yet. What do we have now? Well, Jesus has come. He's shown his power and authority over sin and death. Colossians 2:15, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus is risen and reigning. Ephesians 1, his spirit lives in us today as a deposit of all we have in him. And yet there is more to come. Jesus promised return. Sin is still real in our lives. Jesus isn't acknowledged as Lord of all by all of creation. Philippians 2:10, but one day every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Not that all will be saved, Jesus says, but that all will one day bow before him as Lord of all and as Saviour of those who have put their trust in him. So as we finish now, brothers and sisters in Christ, be reassured of Jesus' call. On this first Sunday back to church, have eyes to see the bigger picture of where our lives together as a church are heading. And may that shape our priorities in life and ministry, our commitment to life and ministry, to serve the gospel in the places God has put us. God has put us where he's put us for a reason, at home, at work or school, in this town, in this church, with the people around us he's given us. And as he went out, verses 43 to 44, may we go out to our places of life, serving the gospel wholeheartedly. That's our purpose in life, our chief end, not simply to be happy or fit and healthy, or achieve financial security, or to make sure our family are settled and happy. Our chief end, our purpose in life, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray to you with great thanks for the Lord Jesus, that he can and has and will deliver all he's promised to his people. And may we respond to Jesus' call by faith in every area of our lives, standing against sin and temptation. May we not be deceived. We pray that you might do a sanctifying work in our lives, changing our hearts, that we might indeed honour you with all we are and all we have. And for everyone we know who's not turned to Jesus in repentance and faith, may your spirit transform their hearts too. May you use us in their lives to point them to you and give us boldness to proclaim the kingdom of God to them. Amen.